Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to our phone callers. First up, let's go to Stuart. He's listening in Mississippi. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, yes, I was wanting to know, if you decide to take your own life, do you go to hell for that?
Well, remember that if you are a believer, you're not going to go to hell. But if you're a believer, you're also not going to knowingly take your own life. The reason is, as a believer, you recognize that life and death is not your prerogative, rather it is the prerogative of God, and therefore, in your right mind, you would never take a prerogative that is God's alone. So you cannot absolutely say with certainty that suicide is the unforgivable sin, but you can say with certainty that no believer in their right mind would ever murder oneself and violate a commandment of God. Taking their own life is the murdering of oneself, and therefore completely out of touch with a Christian worldview.
Yes, sir. Okay. I'm glad you cleared that for me.
Why are you asking?
You know, sometimes you feel there's no way out. It just ponders my mind sometimes.
Well, Stuart, I can tell you there is a way out. God has a purpose for your life. All the days ordained for you were written in his book before one of them came to be. He has a purpose for your life, and you find that purpose by developing a rich relationship with the lover of your soul through prayer, by getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God into you, and by recognizing that you can't go this life's journey on your own. You need other Christians to encourage you. If you're going through a deep and dark valley in your life, you need other brothers that can hold you up. Because one of the things that happens, Stuart, is you lose perspective at times, and you have to regain that perspective. We all do. We lose perspective, and we have moments of despondency, and then we might do things that we would say we would never do if we were in our right mind. But if you think of the fact that God knit you together in your mother's womb, and that he loved you enough to die for you, you know that he also has numbered every hair on your head. He cares about every detail of your life. You can make it through the dark, dreary environs of this world. In fact, when you get to the darkest spot, you'll find that you're lifted up suddenly and that Christ is carrying you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. That helps.
Here's what I want you to do. Get a Bible, and I want you to meditate on Psalm 139. Just read it over and over again. Meditate on it. Digest it in your mind. And it will give you the certain knowledge that no matter where you are, no matter what you're experiencing, God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is there with you every step of the way. You can be absolutely certain of that. So I would meditate on it. If possible, memorize it. Just keep going over and over and over it in your mind until it becomes a part of who you are. And it will give you the encouragement you need when you're in the darkest part of the storm.
Okay, I appreciate that. I really do. Psalms 139, and I'll get right on it.
Thank you for calling, Stuart.
Thank you for caring enough to listen. I appreciate it.
You got it, my friend. And I want to pray for Stuart. Oh, Lord, please be with Stuart and encourage him. Bring other believers to his aid. Help them to be the balm of Gilead in his life. And Lord, we remember your words. You've searched us. You know us. You know, when we sit, when we rise, you perceive our thoughts from afar. You discern our going out and our lying down. You're familiar with all our ways. Before a word is on our tongue, you know it completely. You hem us in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon us. Such knowledge is too wonderful, too lofty for us to attain. Where can we go from your spirit? Where can we flee from your presence? If we go up the heavens, you're there. If we make our bed in the depths, you are there. If we rise on the wings of the dawn, if we settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide us and your right hand will hold us fast. If we say, surely the darkness will hide us and the light become night around us, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. You created our inmost being. You knit us together in our mother's womb. We can praise you because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. We know that full well. Our frames were not hidden from you. When we were made in the secret place, when we were woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw our unformed body. All the days ordained were written in your book before even one of them came to be. Stuart and everyone listening in can have the certainty that life doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with depression and anxiety and even death and despondency. But it does give us something far greater, the hope of resurrection. That's why we can face tomorrow. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Troy in Detroit. Hi, Troy.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. I appreciate your efforts on our behalf.
You got it. My privilege.
Most of my friends are non-believers, and one of the biggest questions I've had to deal with is, how do you coincide dinosaurs and the Bible? And, you know, I really, about the only thing I really find is about the behemoths and such and so forth, and I don't know how to tell my friends, you know, they were created by God and such, and they all say, well, don't you think Adam would have probably have been eaten by a T-Rex or something?
Well, I mean, I think the thing that you have to recognize when you deal with these kinds of things is that God has two books. He has the book of knowledge, or the Bible. He also has the book of nature, which is to say that if you look at the book of nature, you know that dinosaurs existed. The question that's debated by Christians is when they existed. And certainly, there are many Christians that hold to an old universe, and they do so on the basis of the book of nature. They look at nature, they read that book carefully, and they realize as a result of that, that we live in an old universe, and therefore, the presupposition is that dinosaurs could have predated Adam by literally millions, actually hundreds of millions of years.
Then the next question that I had, okay, because God created the world in 7 days, right?
Well, again, this gets to my other point, and that is you have to be able to read the Bible critically as well. That's an art and that's a science, which is to say that when the Bible talks about the 7 days of creation, one must not suppose that within that we have a chronology of creation. What we actually have there is a hierarchy of creation with humankind as the crowning jewels of God's creation. So rather than reading it chronologically, I think we're better served to read it chirologically and understand God's purposes, recognizing that God is unbounded by time. So we look at effects linearly and say an effect follows a cause. We look at things chronologically, but God is not bounded by time. And thus, we have to recognize that we shouldn't just look at the Bible from a humanistic standpoint. We have to look at this from a sanctified, godly standpoint, recognizing the nature of God and God's heavenly condescension to use physical realities to communicate spiritual truth. And one of the beauties that you have at the very beginning in Genesis is a mnemonic device by which every single day of the week we can remember God's creative prowess. And so it's something that is imprinted upon the tablet of our consciousness and becomes a pattern by which in the Decalogue we learn to live our lives by the pattern that God set forth for us in the heavenly condescension that we find in the account of Genesis, which is a historical narrative, but obviously interlaced with Jewish poetic structure as well. So we want to read it literally, which means that we want to read it as literature, take it in the sense in which it's inspired, because at the end of the day, it's not just literature, it's inspired literature. Now, there are young earth creationists that believe that dinosaurs lived at the same time as humankind, and therefore there is a debate amongst Christians that ought to not divide, but cause us to have iron sharpen iron.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick reminder not to take this ministry for granted, and certainly not to take the Bible Answer Man broadcast for granted. The only reason that we can touch the lives of people for time and for eternity, not only in the West, but indeed around the world, is because people are standing with us prayerfully and financially. So when I say don't take this ministry for granted, I'm speaking from experience here and urging you to prayerfully consider supporting the ministry financially and prayerfully. If you can join the support team, it would make a world of difference. You can do that on the web at equip.org/donate. Select Bible Answer Man Support Team and then fill out the online form, or just call our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI, it stands for Christian Research Institute. Or, of course, you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Virginia. She's listening in Queens, New York. Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
My question is, Jensen Franklin, what can you tell me about him?
Well, he is a classic televangelist with a television program known as Kingdom Connection. And like most of the Word Faith teachers, he declares men to be little gods. He says, in the garden before Adam fell to sin, we were bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We were made in the image of God. We were little gods just like God. He teaches the whole notion that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. And then also does the manipulative stuff. When you pray, you can release the 30-fold return. And when both prayer and giving are part of your life, he says, I believe that releases the 60-fold blessing. And when all three, giving, praying, and fasting, are part of your life, that 100-fold return can be released. Well, it's a spiritualizing of a give to get con. The basic idea is you send a certain amount of money and then you get either 30 or 60 or 100-fold blessings. So it's a way to give to get. Where in biblical theology, you don't give to get, you give because you sincerely love the Lord and you want to extend his kingdom. You give because you're demonstrating that you lean upon the arm of God more heavily than upon the arm of flesh. And you are giving to meet the needs of people spiritually and physically. So Jensen Franklin is not a man that I would recommend. I've written in principle about him and many other Word of Faith teachers in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thank you for your call, Virginia. I want to move on now. Talk to Tim. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Tim.
How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
All right. God bless you for what you do for the kingdom.
Thank you.
I know the emphasis that the Word God puts on I am. God pronounced himself as I am. So it was curious to me that in John 1:1, it uses the word was there. And so I was wondering their significance to that.
Well, yeah, the context, again, becomes determinative because in John, you have John talking about Jesus and saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So he's talking about Jesus at the beginning of time, in an epic of history past, when Jesus Christ spoke and the universe leapt into existence. So he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and then emphasizes the fact that the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and what happened in the beginning? In other words, when the universe was created, what happened? Through him, says John, all things were made, past tense. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then he makes clear, so that we don't miss the point, that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. He's talking what Jesus did when he walked this earth. When John walked this earth, Jesus walked this earth in the present. But Jesus Christ forever will be. And John points that out in the book of Revelation as well. He's not only past, present, and future. He is indeed forever. He existed before the foundation of the world, and we will experience him in eternity as well.
Okay. I appreciate that.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Jim, Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Jim.
Hello, how you doing, Hank?
Good, how are you?
All right. I had a question in reference to a call about Robert Tilton in the ministry.
Yeah.
In view of what the Bible says about making vows and oaths and those type of things, God would not hold, you know, when these people are asking persons to make vows of faith and that kind, God wouldn't actually hold somebody to that kind of thing, would he?
No, God doesn't hold us to our own sins. What we are called to do is ask forgiveness for those sins. Now, there are vows that God does hold us to. So if you stand before God and you stand before the state and you vow to cherish a woman, to love her and honor her and respect her and nurture her and care for her until death do you part, that's a vow that you are making not only to a woman, but a vow that you are making to your Lord.
Right.
Because you're connected like a triangle with God at the top of the triangle. And the closer you become to one another, the closer you become to God. So that's the kind of vow that you are held to, that you are held responsible for. But a vow to Robert Tilton is a vow to a false teacher.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it, Jim. Appreciate your call. Sean next, listening in Topeka. Hi, Sean.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Hank. I got a question for you. I was calling in reference to T.D. Jake and Joel Osteen and tithing.
Yeah.
That's the reason I got out of a church, is because I was noticing that the preacher kept asking for tithing, and he kept coming in with nice new suits, finally a new car, all this and all that. And then I got out of the church. I was needing to know, is there another way I could tithe? Where I want to tithe, but I feel uncomfortable giving my tithing to, you know, like that. Well, I want to know if there's another place I can tithe that, you know, another place I can go to tithe.
Yeah, I think what's important is to recognize that you are a steward of the resources that God gives you, and as such, you want to find ministries that are really making a difference for time and for eternity. You want to invest in those ministries. I mean, think about this from a crass secular standpoint. If you're going to make an investment in a business, you want to make sure that that business is really making a profit. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to invest in it. The same thing is true with a ministry. You want to invest in ministries that are making a difference for time and for eternity. So you need to make wise spiritual investments. And the whole notion of tithing is something that leads to free will giving, which is to say, at the end of the day, we want to give so that his kingdom may be extended. Not only would we be empowered through that to spread the gospel around the globe, but we would be enabled to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick, like our forefathers who founded great centers of Christian education, established hospitals, funded relief organizations. We might yet leave an indelible mark on our generation. For only when the training wheels of tithing come off will the world of free will giving become our playground. Well, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. We ask you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that on the web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI, and we'll see you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.